today. So every day we start fresh because we can't affect the past, but we damn sure can make a difference today.
Welcome to episode 103 of Chop Talk. Maybe it's just, I'm Jennifer.
I'm Carrie.
Maybe it's just me, but this episode was a lot better than last week's, in my opinion. In my opinion, don't come for me.
No, I mean, it was. I don't think I've ever been, like, as, like, just up and down with how I felt scene to scene, at least in a while. So, I mean, yeah, it was definitely a good episode.
Yeah, I thought it made us, like, feel all the things, like, a lot. And then also the transitions. I noticed that the transitions were, like, really cool and, like, thought out. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I point out a couple in my parts, but yeah. So,
yeah.
And by the looks of it, next week's promo looks really good. I mean, the Shepherd Angst, give it to me. Give all of it to me. But it seems like the episode set up a couple of storylines, like Tim's centric storyline, Balin with the baby, maybe. But they're set up to, like, carry us through the rest of the season because we're officially halfway, which is crazy to think about. Also, I don't want it to be done soon. So, only because we have another long summer hiatus. So, yeah. Also, like, ABC's been handing out renewals for Grays and, like, 911. Mm-hmm. So, like, where's the rookies? Because we need that.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and manifest that on Monday for some reason we get it, because it's going to be our third birthday on Monday. So
that would be
a really cool way to celebrate. Yeah, it's crazy that we've been doing this for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But we do have, like, a little bit of news. We have a episode description for 606. Do you want to take us through that one?
Sure. It'll air, obviously, next week. And it reads, following their time as foster parents, Bailey has decided she wants to have a baby and forces John to reconsider their decision to not have children. Meanwhile, John and Selena discover a prison escapee whom they fear is out for revenge and race to find her before it is too late.
Yep. And then we also have a little bit of news on April 16th. The Rookie is re-airing 603. So it seems like they're doing, like, three episodes on, three episodes off of new ones. So that'll be cool. Don't really know what we're going to do yet. Might take a little bit of a break just so that we're kind of in line with everything, but we'll figure it out. That's about all the news that we have for this week. We'll go ahead and start right into 605 because there was a lot to cover. So we'll start off with John, Bailey, and the foster kid, Anna. And so John and Selena are working the night shift all week. They have 4 more hours to go. And they're basically just doing it because John's paying back everyone who covered for him while he was gone. Why he's working the night shift seems kind of weird, but okay.
Yeah, I thought it was like midnight or something for Selena at first. And then he said that and I was like, okay, never mind. I was wrong.
Yeah, no, that's what I thought too. I was like, well, we haven't seen her working a night shift yet. So maybe, but yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of odd to me. And so Selena's exhausted, and as they're exiting the motor bay, he asks her if she's forgotten anything, and she's like, no, like, she's checking herself, making sure she has everything, and she's like, no, I'm good. John questions it again and then looks back at the car, and he's like, what about the suspect? And Selena's like, yep, okay, I will go ahead and take care of them. So then we see Nolan and Selena arrive on scene to another call. And this was one of the first transitions that I thought was really cool. Like, how it opened up the shot of LA and all you heard were the gunshots behind it. I don't know. It was just kind of like a different way to start a case and transition over. Yeah. But we saw Nolan and Selena get out of the shop. Bailey and her team are there too. Apparently they were right around the corner and heard the gunshots. And so we have a little moment between them. He tells her to stay there. She's like, be safe. I do like that we're seeing, like, fire and rescue kind of on their calls. But Nolan and Selena walk into the dark house. They see two DOAs. After searching the house, Selena finds another victim in the back bedroom. This victim's like unconscious but breathing. And so instead of like asking if she cleared the rest of the room, John calls for an ambulance. And they hear like a loud thud in the closet. And after John announces them, like there's no movement. And so he opens the door to a little girl. So we find out that the victims were the little girl's dad. And it was the little girl's dad, grandma, and her mom. And so her mom's in surgery. The little girl, Anna, seems uninjured. She's fine. And so Luna comes in and she's like, you know, DCFS is searching for a family relative that can come and take care of Anna until her mom gets out of surgery. Well, Gray's like, I'm going to stay up to date on this. And Nolan and Selena are going to kind of hang around and do paperwork. And so Luna and Gray walk away and they're holding hands and they're just so cute. I love that we've seen a lot of Luna this season. So after Gray walks away, Nolan turns to Selena and starts to like reprimand her about not searching the closet. And she's like, there's no excuse. Like, I put the injured woman as priority and it won't happen again. And so Nolan reminds her that if it was the shooter in there instead of a child, they would both be dead. So, I mean, he's not wrong. He's definitely not. Yeah, I mean, she deserved to be reprimanded for not clearing the room, but like, I don't know. To me, John should have cleared it too, like as her TO, or asked her if she had cleared the entire room before he called it over the radio. He just like assumed that she did, which, yeah, she should be clearing the room. And she's been a rookie long enough to know that she should, but I don't know. I feel like kind of as her TO and as her backup, he should have been like, did you clear every part of this room? Like he just, I don't
I
know.
didn't even, I mean, is he the only one that said like clear and they were code four or whatever the heck he said on the radio?
I
Like, I
think
didn't
so.
even know if, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, like,
But
she didn't even say it. So it's like, how would he know for sure
yeah. Right.
if she did or didn't? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then Luna like walks over to Balin later and Anna's mom is out of surgery. But she's not out of the woods yet because she flatlined on the table. They were able to get her back, but you know, it's still kind of touch and go. So John's like, is there any update on finding family for her to stay with? But there's been no luck. No immediate family lives in LA. So CPS is going to widen the search in the morning. And Luna's like, for the short term, she'll be in a children's shelter if there's no relative found, and then she'll be in a foster home. But it's not what anyone wants. We see Anna kind of drop her stuffed fox, and John runs in to pick it up for her, which we've seen John Nolan with kids before. So this was no like surprise that he was good with her and everything. So John like looks back out to Bailey, asks what she thinks, and John runs Anna staying with them for the night by Bailey. And she's like, but we're not registered foster parents, like it's a process. And John's like naiveness in here just kind of made me laugh. Like, I'm sure that it could work, but he was like, yeah, we're first responders, so like that has to count for something, and CPS will likely sign off on it. I'm sure that they would, but also I would think like this is a huge like conflict of interest in a way because he like was on the case first. I don't know. It just kind of seemed weird. So Bailey's still unsure. John reminds her that it would be for one night or until they find a relative for the temporary foster situation. And Bailey's like, I'm on board. So they're back home. I guess he's off night shift now. I don't know because it's like daylight. So who really knows? But they start making a list of everything that they'll need, like diapers, wipes, toys, Cheerios. And then they start like trying to baby proof the house, which I was like, she's there for a day, like, and you guys are likely going to be around. I get it, but so then we cut over to Nyla and Angela, and Nyla's like, how badly could this screw Anna up? And Angela's like, it depends on if she saw anything, how much she saw, and where she goes from here. So Nyla like brings up Lila, who saw Nyla get attacked, and Nyla's like, I always just wonder how much of that stayed with her. And Angela reassures her that she's one of the most well-adjusted kids. So Nyla has no worries there. I loved that like that they like threw in that little piece of Nyla and like her kids, and even like Angela like reassuring her. It was just nice to see. And so then Angela gives a rundown on the victims and their history. And Angela's like, you know, the parents seem to be clean, seem to clean out their act when Anna came around. And Nyla suggests that, you know, maybe things got tight and Anna's dad had to reach back out to some of his friends in the drug business. And another really cool transition that they did was when Nyla and Angela like looked back in the closet where Anna was found, and it like cut over to Lucy and Aaron, which I thought was cool. Like it was just a nice, different transition. So we go back over to Bailey and John. They're watching Anna play with some stuffed animals, and she starts talking about a kid growing up and reminisce, or John starts talking about like a kid growing up and reminiscing on Henry's childhood, which I thought it was cool that they like brought Henry into it too. Kind of makes sense. And so Bailey says that's why people keep having kids, like get back to the virgins that they miss. Then we hear a knock at the door. Luna's there. She shares that Anna's mom died a little while ago. So Luna shares the plan for moving forward and that they'll find a foster family, unless Baylin wants to keep her until they find a family to place her with. Bailey's unsure about it. Luna lets them discuss it. John asks why. And she's like, you know, she starts talking about a time when she was babysitting a neighbor, and she was almost the reason that they lost their son. So then John disagrees, but you know, he's like, or Bailey's like, I just don't think that I'm gonna be good mom material. John disagrees and, you know, and says, I don't think so, but we'll say bye to Anna anyway. And then Bailey like agrees to watching Anna until they find a family for her. And I don't know, this entire like thing just felt weird because it was like Bailey says no, John like desperately wants it in a way. And then Bailey's like on board, and John's like, no, we don't have to. Like, they're just like going back and forth. So then I laughed when this happened too, because I was like, of course, John would forget this. Wesley calls John and is like, where are you? We have the Oscar deposition today. And I was like, are we back in like 602? John apologizes for leaving Bailey, and Anna's like, or Bailey and Anna, and he's like, you know, I might be able to take Anna with me, which I caught that on my second rewatch. I was like, why would you take her with you?
I
Like,
mean, listen, Wesley brought baby Jack to the station.
that's true. That's true. But this is like a deposition. I could just see Monica being like, why is there a child here? Like, okay. And I mean, I would assume that John would kind of know that Oscar is not going to be there, but Oscar could be there again. I don't know. He was there the first time. So Bailey's like, no, it's fine. Like, go, just get this done and over with. So John's in the deposition with Wesley and Monica. He's like falling asleep. He starts to explain what all they have going on. And Monica's like, oh, so you want to make it seem like you're doing good for someone now. And so she cuts him off. And she has him read some texts that he sent to Bailey the night that Oscar was attacked. They're not good. But yeah, so that kind of continues. They just keep going back and forth. So then Angela and Nyla, like we cut back over to them and they're looking at things with the case. They're coming up with nothing like regarding anything, like anything on the case. So Nyla then sees a payment that the parents were getting every month. And it suggests that it's a rent check and that they were renting out a room. So Angela and Nyla are interviewing the suspect, and he knows that there was a guy that went in there looking for Ellis. He gives them a name. The team's like gonna go take down this Roderick, and they're like, let's take things low key, knocking on the door, talking to his wife because they see like graffiti, and not graffiti, but like spray paint on the house, and it's basically like he doesn't live here, so they're figuring that like the wife's gotten a lot of calls and visits about this guy. So then they hear a noise in the house. When the wife answers the door and she's like, yeah, the floor gets creaky after I vacuum. And Nyla's like, that's not real. Let us in. So, I mean, yeah, that's just come up with a better lie. I don't know. And then, like, a shootout ensues. John takes a final shot, taking Roderick down with a shot to his foot. So that's cool. I mean, I don't know. Like, once again, John Nolan is the savior, I guess. But okay. So Bailey is gonna like we this was kind of in between the shootout and not, but Bailey's gonna get Anna ready for a nap, and she's suddenly gone missing. So after searching the house, Bailey finds her in the closet. And Bailey's like talking to Luna after finding Anna, putting her down, all that. And she's like, I'm just terrified that I'm gonna fail her. And Luna reassures her that she's doing a great job and tells Bailey that they'll be fine. So yeah, towards kind of the end of the episode, Wesley runs into John at the station. And turns out that the judge granted the motion to dismiss the Oscar case. So it's over for Nolan. That just kind of seems like a anticlimactic ending with it. I mean, not that it was like anything huge, but I don't know. It just kind of seemed okay. Like we've had two instances of the storyline now for Nolan where he's like missing the deposition and that's it. But I hope we see more Oscar. So then Bailey says when John's like home or whatever that they should foster Anna, even though they decided not to have kids, like it feels like fate and they can do this. And then as if on cue, Luna is at the door with Anna's uncle from Tampa and he's gonna take her to live with him. And so they like say goodbye to her and they're not okay after she leaves. And that's kind of where we leave it with them. Cut to the promo for next week, and Bailey is like sitting there at the end of the bed, like creepy when John wakes up, and she's like, "I think we should have a kid." And I was just like, "That's like a little much," like right when he wakes up, but okay. So, yeah. But
Yeah, I just, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
yeah, I don't know. I have thoughts on it because I'm just like, we don't
Yeah.
need Bailey to have a kid. Like, I feel like there's so much other that she could do.
Yeah. Well, and it's just ironic because you could definitely start to tell, like, Jenna was actually, like, showing or,
Yeah.
pregnant.
I do think though that like it was a good idea to not have Bailey like find out she's pregnant like right after the wedding and they're writing in her like Jenna's pregnancy that way. But I'm just kind of like, I don't know. Like, we don't need her. We don't need them to have a kid too. Like, we've already got Angela and Nyla with kids. Like, that's fine. Yes, we want to see like women who are moms and working like a dangerous job, but I don't feel like we need that for Bailey too. Give them like a nice pet. They can be dog parents, they can be cat parents, something, but like, don't necessarily, like, I don't need them to have a kid too.
I mean, maybe they would just like go through the adoption process, maybe, or like foster parent process. Maybe that,
Yeah.
like, they're, like making it seem a certain way for the promo. Maybe it's like, because we've seen in other shows they go through that process and that takes a long time and
Yeah.
gives like ups and downs for a relationship. I don't know though, because there's only what? You said we're halfway now. Yeah, so there's five left.
Yeah. I feel like if we see anything happen, it won't happen until like next season for sure.
Yeah.
And not that I want this, but I was kind of thinking, like, what if they do try to have them like get pregnant, quote unquote, and then like they find out that they can't? Like there's some kind of issue and they just can't. I don't know. Not that I want that, but I'm also like, that would be really interesting to see too. Like, how do they deal with that, like infertility? But I don't know. I feel like there's just more to Bailey that it's, I mean, not that there's not with Angela and Nyla. But I'm just kind of like, Bailey has like 500 different hobbies. We could like get into something like that, or like her training someone new, like I don't, something. I don't know. I just feel like we could kind of have a little bit more. But
I just definitely wasn't expecting it
yeah.
to, because I just thought when they were, not gonna write in Jenna's actual pregnancy. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. Like,
Right.
they're gonna like really change things up and not have it be a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I guess we'll see more next week. I don't know.
I'm also wondering, like, what if they do something like with Lucy and Tamara, but like they make it with Bailey and someone, like Bailey's mentoring this, person that she found in a fire, kind of like fostering, but not really. Like it's more like a Lucy and Tamara thing. I don't know. Like maybe, yes, she does want to have like a part in someone's life, but maybe not make it be like a mom situation. I don't know. I don't know. I guess we'll see. But to me, I'm just kind of like, we don't really need it. I don't know. But do you want to take us through Chenford and Tim's past and all of that? Because that was really good.
I just like don't I have a lot of things. I mean, there was a lot going on with the storyline, but it just like took me through all the emotions.
Yeah. And the promo for next week was pretty emotion heavy too.
And so we started off. We already saw the first scene on screen. We saw that in the sneak peek, where Lucy's setting things up for their date night, and Tim comes in with a present, and she mentions that gift giving isn't his love language. And I was just like, I just like died over that mention just since we did the love languages episode. And she kind of jokes that, terse nods are. And regardless, he does end up giving her a present, and it's the busted radio that took the bullet for her in the last episode. And so she thanks him for it, and they're, having their moment. And as they're kissing, Tamara comes in apologizing for interrupting their date night, and says she'll go straight to her room. But of course she smells dinner and now wants the paella, which Lucy offers her some of to take to her room. But before dinner can be had by anyone in that apartment, Tim gets a phone call and basically immediately is just like, I gotta go, and turns around and leaves Lucy's apartment, understandably leaving her and Tamara confused as to what just happened and why. But we do find out that he is meeting up with an old army buddy of his named Mark Greer. He's mostly referred to as Greer in the episode. And it starts off with, if Ray's alive, then they've got a problem. And I'm just like, what are they even talking about? Like, I literally, because I was watching this on Hulu, I like went back and like rewatched. I was like, did I miss something? Did I like black out and like not see something? I was so confused. But they do kind of go on to explain, because Tim's saying, they found his tags, his DNA, no one could have walked away from something like that. To which Greer tells him that, no, Ray's definitely alive. He set up, some trip wires a few years back after hearing rumors of, Ray being alive and being a gun for hire, worldwide. And lo and behold, they Mark did catch him coming through LAX, and so now they are here staking out Ray's mother's house. He came back because she's dying of cancer, and so they are, there to kind of watch the house and see if Ray shows up there or is there already, because they made a vow all those years ago in the army that if somehow Ray survived, that they would kill him, as basically revenge for his actions, which killed two of their own. So, we then cut to Lucy laying in bed, and she's kind of staring at the ceiling for a second, waiting. She does end up picking her phone up, and calls Tim, presumably again, because we see on the screen there's like a missed call on his phone, and then she leaves him a voicemail. And she's just basically like, I'm here if you need me, but I'm waiting, and you can, just call me when you can. And we do see the camera cuts over. We see Tim look down at the phone and see the notification, but obviously he did not pick up her call. And he's still waiting in the truck, while Mark scoped out the entryways into Ray's mother's house. There is apparently a back door you can get to, but you have to go around into the neighbors to get to it. So it's not exactly easy access for them, I guess. There's still been no sign of Ray, and Mark kind of, was thinking of killing Ray and dumping him in a landfill. Unless, Tim has a boat. He was kind of like joking around. But Tim's not exactly one for joking right now because just talking about it is considered criminal conspiracy. And, Greer's an army lawyer, Tim's a cop. They've got to think about this. And Mark fires back with, well, what about Henderson and Coyle? Like, they didn't get to build, their lives and they deserve justice. So those were the names of the two men that were killed, assuming by what Ray had done. And so it's the next morning. They're still in the same spot. They may as well have done like a time lapse, just like on
Yeah.
their faces or something, of them just like sitting in the truck and like, how they do on shows like that. I thought that's what they were kind of gonna do with that.
Or even like sunset to sunrise, like through the night and stuff.
Because they're literally, I mean, they're sitting in the exact same spot. And they haven't gotten anything all night, except for Greer's bad jokes. He mentions that his bad jokes were, turned into dad jokes because he has two kids now named Scott and Nancy. And I mean, I guess to kind of show that he has a bit more of a stake in there, like a little bit more to lose, I guess. If things were to go, so I don't know. I just thought it was like going somewhere and then it just like took a turn and like they, moved off that real quick. Because they noticed movement in the house, but they can't tell who it is. So before Mark can exactly tell Tim not to go up to the house, he's just like already outside the truck walking up. And so he follows suit. And when they arrive at the door, his mom greets them and Tim introduces them as, Sergeant Bradford and Major Mark Greer, and they're here to talk with her about her son. She insists, well, he's dead. But she does begrudgingly let them inside. And Tim asks to use the restroom, and of course he goes searching through a bag he found in a bedroom when bam, he comes face to face with Ray. And so they kind of both walk out, and then Ray tells his mom to give them a minute, and they all, I say chat, quote, with quotes around it, just because it's like honestly ridiculous the exchange that goes on between the three of them. Because Ray asks what possible crimes they could bring him to justice for, and he's doing all this, mind you, while he's making a sandwich. And Tim says, well, they'd start with him, being AWOL, faking his own death, felony grand theft. He apparently stole $500,000 from the US government. And Ray, figured no one would miss the money. Tim said that he called in an airstrike on his own guys when they came to track him down, and there wasn't enough left of Henderson and Coyle to fit in a shoebox. So, it was obviously a really bad move, which had deadly consequences. And Ray knows that this all sounds really bad, but he also knows that that's not what happened, technically speaking, because Tim and Mark signed after action statements that were basically saying that, like anything but what they just discussed. AK alluding to Ray being dead so that his wife and daughter could get his death benefits. And Ray quips that his wife, was 1 month away from Dear Johnning him. Which when he said that just made me wonder why this, excuse my language, but like why the hell did they do that then? If they knew his wife was going to leave him via a letter, which, that's, I mean, I'm assuming if we're going off the like movie reference and the, all the other times that it's been referenced in culture, that that's what he meant. But like either way, if they knew that that, relationship was going to be a dead end, then like why did they even do that? Like I just, I mean, I don't know.
And like she obviously did leave him, right? Because like, where is she now? I don't know. I didn't catch that they had a daughter. I just thought that he had a wife or girlfriend. So,
Well, I had to watch it with closed captions on because
yeah.
I, yeah.
Yeah, no, I have captions on too. I
Yeah.
just must have missed that. But yeah, like, why would they have done that?
Yeah, because it's obviously it's not like he's actually like, he's kind of the definition of like an absentee father because he's
Yeah.
literally like going around the world like, killing people, presumably.
Right.
And like
I mean,
that's
granted,
his
he was like in the military,
thing.
but still.
Well, yeah, but he didn't like, turn his life around or do,
Yeah.
like do anything that would indicate that he had any sort of care for his family.
I guess they would have done that because they were technically his like superiors on the like platoon or whatever. Because I think Tim was pretty higher up in the
I mean,
military.
yeah, Tim was definitely the squad leader, I think he
Yeah.
says later.
So I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like they're obviously gonna take one from one of their guys, but yet, if he's kind of being like suspicious.
Yeah, I just don't understand because literally he's just like, well, if you arrest me right now, then, they'd have to tell him the truth about how they lied on those forms, which would get them into trouble, which would get them retroactively dishonorably discharged, and they could also lose their current jobs. So it's like, okay, they really can't do anything.
They have everything to lose.
Yeah.
I don't know. This entire like case was just kind of, it was fuzzy to me. I was like, we're getting more Tim military backstory, which is cool, but I mean, this is just a lot of like jargon and
I just
confusing
like didn't
stuff.
understand because it's like he, okay, so then now Tim's gonna shoulder, well, I mean in the next scene, he says that he'll, he would take the fall as squad leader. But like, okay, so he's gonna shoulder that responsibility, even though like, I mean, granted, this was like 4 seasons ago, but the veteran that he knew that, lost his legs, I think it was, or something,
Yeah.
or lost a limb. Tim felt responsible for that, and he was telling Lucy about that in the truck or whatever in that one episode. So it's like, obviously, he's already carrying a lot of like weight from his time in the service. It's just like, why,
Right.
why are we adding more?
Yeah.
I don't know, but anyway, so they obviously Tim and Mark leave Ray's mom's house, and they obviously. Them going up to the door and like directly or well it starts indirectly confronting him turns into a direct confrontation that didn't solve anything. It just made it easier for Ray to see when they're coming for him. And they're parked somewhere else. They're having a discussion outside of the truck and Tim says that they're not killing Ray. Mark says, well, he's already dead, so they're just making sure that he stays that way. And Tim says that they need to come clean and, confess to everything. And Mark's basically like, nope, there's no chance in hell that they're doing that because they both lose everything. And like I said earlier, Tim was saying how he would take the fall as squad leader and it all would fall on him. But Mark knows that no one would buy Tim's lie of making him sign the papers too. But Tim still won't. He still won't do it, and he also won't let Mark do it either. AKA, he would arrest him for killing Ray. And cue the sad music. Cue my emotions. I was just like, wow. That's. I mean, I guess I shouldn't have expected anything less from Tim. I don't know. I just wish we would have seen this Greer character like come up
Sooner.
before this.
Yeah.
Because obviously they have a bond where it's like if he just up and calls Tim, he's just literally gonna drop everything, including
Right.
his girlfriend and their date
Yeah.
plans to, go and see to this task. That's, what, like 20, well, presumably like what, 15 or 20 years
Yeah.
in the past or something. I don't know. But obviously, there's a lot weighing on the both of them. But Mark's about had it. He, tells Tim that whatever death and destruction Ray causes next is on Tim. So that's kind of, well, That's where they leave it between the two of them anyway.
Yeah. Tim's eyes are all glassy. Like it hurt. It
Yeah.
hurt.
Yeah. And then we get, the start of Chinford Angst, which obviously will lead up into the next episode. But we see Lucy waiting up, and Tim comes in apologizing for, being MIA, but Lucy says that's not good enough. Like, telling her that he's alive is not optional because she's been thinking he's been bleeding out anywhere in LA for the last 36 hours. So, but he can't tell her what's been going on because even knowing about it would put Lucy's job at risk with the LAPD. And even though Tim didn't technically commit a crime, he did something that Lucy would feel compelled to report, and if she did, she'd get disciplined for it. Which, I mean, I suppose that yes, because, they know each other really well.
Yeah.
But I mean, it kind of just like put Lucy, what's the expression, like between a rock and a hard place or whatever, because it's
Yeah.
like, okay, if she does, have this compelling nature to report, Tim's lying on a official document or something. I don't really know what the crime would be. Like, she could do that, or if she didn't, then I suppose it would just create a larger rift in their relationship and she'd
Yeah.
feel like guilty, and then he'd feel guilty for making her feel guilty or bad or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I
And then
also feel like
I don't
by
know.
him saying that, that just piqued her curiosity more. Like she's
Oh,
obviously
yeah.
already curious and like she wants to know, but like him, by him saying you can't know about this because it would get you further and it would get you in trouble, like you're just giving her the kind of ammunition to be like, dude, what really is going on? Like, okay, now you seem suspect with this.
Yeah. And he doesn't want to put this on Lucy, and so she asks him what he's doing there if he's not going to tell her the truth. And he wanted to see her, but that's not good enough of an answer for her right now. So she does ask him to leave, and he understands, so he does. And that's where we leave it with them as well. So that's like kind of two conversations in a row where Tim is, obviously visibly upset
Yeah.
by the outcome. And I don't know, maybe it's just the, I mean, I suppose it probably could just be a word choice on the writer's part to use, to not say the same thing over and over again. But I
Yeah.
mean, getting disciplined versus getting fired, which Lucy, mentions with when she's talking to John about it. Are those not two different things? Am I like hallucinating?
Yeah. Well, maybe she took it that way. Like, maybe she took what he said as like, oh, I would get
Like,
disciplined and fired.
like worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
But then that begs me to question the promo for next week because, and we see Angela asking him in like vague ways. So, how is it fine if she knows or like has an idea of what he's up to versus Lucy?
Yeah.
Because Angela's a detective, like I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and if Tim doesn't, I mean, if we see that Tim doesn't even tell her, then we know obviously he's not going to tell like anyone.
Right.
At least I would think, even though Lucy does kind of demand it of him in the promo as well.
Yeah.
I
Someone
don't
pointed
know.
out that they're in Wilpez's house too, in the
Yeah, I
prom.
did not realize that, but then that does kind of make sense if Angela is like there, and we had the behind the scenes or whatever, of Alyssa and
Yeah.
Eric and Melissa
Yeah.
at one point.
And
So
then part of me was like, is Tim staying over at the Lopez's house because like he doesn't have a place to go? Because he basically lives at Lucy's now. So I'm
okay, so he just doesn't have an apartment.
yeah,
Kojo's
pretty
God
much.
knows where.
Yeah, pretty much. He sold the place, like whatever. Kojo, I don't know where
Yeah,
Kojo's went. He's living
he
with
doesn't have a
Jenny
house
Bradford.
anymore.
He's living with Jenny Bradford. Like, yeah. Tim's
Yeah.
like It's either the truck or Lopez's house. Like, I don't know.
That'd be
That's
funny.
where my mind went. And I was
That would be
like,
kind of funny.
yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah. But Lucy's the funniest in this episode. I mean, she had a couple more like kind of sassy one-liners with Aaron that I know you'll probably mention. But even just with Nolan too, because I mean she's obviously we see her just standing in the parking lot. She's waiting for John, and I totally forgot that John has a truck too.
Yeah. No, I thought it was Tim. I was like, oh,
Yeah,
she's waiting for
for a
Tim. And then
second.
Nolan gets out. I was like, oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah. And I mean John just I mean he doesn't even speak. She's basically just starts in and she's saying, I need help figuring out what's going on with Tim. And John just responds, he's good morning. And Lucy goes through all the I don't even know, like
Pleasantry.
proper, yeah, that's the word. I was like, what's the, yeah, pleasantries. And she's like, hi, how are you? Fine, thanks for asking. Actually, no, that's a lie, I'm not. So she just, I mean,
She
just
like
goes through
talks
all the
for
things.
him,
Yeah, doesn't even, yeah, exactly, speaks for him. And then proceeds in a vague way that, you know, telling him that whatever it is with Tim, her knowing about it could get her fired. And he, you know, he called in sick yesterday and, you know, he's still just being, you know, kind of suspicious about everything. And she wants to help, obviously, but without knowing what it is, she, you know, can't really do anything. And that's what John tells her, as well as he says it's a good thing that Tim didn't tell her then what was going on, if, you know, it could get her fired. And it's kind of, I mean, you can kind of see a little bit of the, I don't know, exasperation, I suppose, on Lucy's face. Because it wasn't probably the most helpful advice that John could tell her. But then at the same time, just the fact that she's going to her ex about her current relationship problems cracks me up so
Yes.
much.
I saw someone say that and I was like, yeah, that's true.
So funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the end scene for, I guess for them, we don't obviously, again, we don't actually see Tim on screen anymore. Tamara joins Lucy on the couch in her apartment, and Lucy says, you know, she's not calling, searching, or stalking Tim. She's being a good girlfriend and trusting her man. And Lucy tells Tamara that they did talk last night, but it's more like he, you know, she talked at him. And he just stood there. So it's not like they made any progress in discussing the issue. And Tamara suggests that they put a tracker on his car because she learned a lot from living with Lucy, who, you know, aced UC school, you know, like not holding coffee in your gun hand. But Lucy points out that she doesn't even have a gun, so it's kind of a pointless thing. But Tamara, you know, mentions it, you know, head on a swivel, and she kind of like puts her arms out for balance, and that makes Lucy laugh. And so that's kind of where we leave it with them. So it seems like maybe at least they will be okay, the two of them, where Tim fits into that per next week, no idea.
Also, like, I'm really glad that we got to see Tamara again. It's been 5 episodes, if not more, since we've last seen her. And I was like, we need to see her. Like, I was tweeting last night and I was like, okay, we have 5 minutes left. Where's this couch scene with them? And also, like, we needed more Tamara. And she just like she came back in the most Tomorrow way, just like interrupting a Chenford kiss. And it was just like, I'd miss this. And like looking, watching the episode again today, like I noticed this the last time too. I think it was when like they were making the pancakes. Tim's like face when he, because he always like has his back to Tamara and he's just like sighing and just like he's definitely the one that just like gets annoyed when there's like someone else there that's like interrupting. Like he just feels like she's the third wheel, but like in the best way possible, you know?
Yeah, it's just funny.
Yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I don't know. There's just, I mean, I just don't know. Like when I said Chenford angst, this was not what I expected either. So there's just a lot
Yeah.
of unexpected. I mean, honestly though, like the storyline that you're going to talk about next, that being the most unexpected for me, like I have so many things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
Yeah.
have so many
I don't know.
qualms about that.
I like the angst, but yet I'm like, okay, where are we going? Because
Yeah.
if they're just gonna be like, after all this, everything's just tied up in a nice little bow, and like they won't have it, it'll be like water under the bridge. I'm like, was it necessary then? But I also feel like they'll do a really good job at not doing that. Like they will let it have residual like feelings
Yeah.
after. But I'm also just like, I don't know. Chenford will be fine. Like, I'm not worried about them like not making it the distance or something. I don't
Yeah.
know. Yeah, but
Yeah, they're not gonna go and pull an upset on us, so.
please no. 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 Yeah, and people were like comparing the two. Like if you watch Chicago PD, people were
Myself
yeah,
included.
comparing them. And I was like, yeah, I saw your tweets and I was like, wow, that's like hurtful actually, but yeah, I don't know. I don't no, Chenford's not upset. I mean, they
No.
are in some ways, but they're not in this way. So
Yeah.
yeah, I will happily take them any day. I mean, I still love upset, don't get me wrong, but yeah. So we'll move on to Aaron and Blair and whatever the heck the storyline is. I just don't even know.
There are so many things.
Yeah. Also, Danielle looked amazing in this entire.
Right? I'm like, why do they do this to me? I'm like so excited to have her back on a television show, only for her to be like the most complicated,
Yeah.
bizarre, like hated person this season.
But wait, the rookie universe though kind of does this to you because like you had this with Britt Robertson. She wasn't like hated though. I mean, some people didn't like
But
her,
lots of
I'm
people did
sure.
not like her
Yeah.
character. No, I
But
know
like,
they, yeah.
but she was just, I don't know. I'm like, why? Why are they doing this to you?
Yeah, I don't know. But then also though, I forgot to mention that Tim's nickname was like the Reaper.
Yes.
And was
Yeah.
that not a rookie feds title for an episode? And that like hurt me.
I
Was it
believe
not?
so. But I
Yeah.
thought it, if anything, it was the rookie. I knew it was an episode title, but I didn't remember which show.
Yeah, I think it
Yeah.
was Beds. And I was like, that hurt me. Thank you so much for
Well, I
that.
saw someone like make like put that in their tweet and I was like, wait, was that said on the episode? And then I caught it on my second rewatch and I was
Yeah.
like, oh yeah, there we go. But
Yeah.
yeah, I don't
But
know.
anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, Blair looked amazing. I was like, wow, like making it really hard to not like her. I don't know. She just had some like really cute outfits and her hair was on point. But so Aaron's at the bar ordering a drink and he like looks over to see Dr. Blair London and she's like thrown off. He's like, sorry, I know seeing a patient in the wild is tricky. Okay, so like why are you saying hi then and making this awkward? Like, yes, be nice, say hi, whatever. But like, you know it's ethically wrong. So why are you doing it? Like, that's my thing. I'm like, dude,
Yeah.
no,
I mean,
no.
you can still, I mean, you can still, I mean, I've seen it on other
You can still say
television
hi.
shows. Yeah, you could say hi, but then they just,
But like, leave it at
yeah.
that. Like, say hi and be like, I'll see you Monday or whatever. Like,
Yeah.
whatever. So she ends up telling him that she was stood up. And that she should go. And I'm like, we are oversharing at this point. We have crossed patient doctor confidentiality lines and we are oversharing. And then Erin's like, well, I can buy you a drink, like in a friendly way. And she accepts. I'm like, really? We're doing this right now.
There's no friend, like if he actually said friendly, but then the fact that he was like in a doctor patient way, and I'm like,
Yeah.
you're not helping.
Right. You're literally making this more awkward than it needs to be. So they're like talking at the bar, and she's talking about how she was supposed to be like some sort of authority figure, like I guess referring to her job. And she's like, I'm like managing like people who could be my dad's age and my grandpa's age, and
Oh,
I'm
why did I think she was talking about dating? I thought she was talking about the dating pool or something that she had
I mean,
like
she could
dealing
be. I
with.
don't know.
I
They
don't.
never like said anything, but I
Yeah,
was
I don't
like,
know.
again,
I
why are
mean,
we saying this?
her
Like,
job makes more
why?
sense though. But yeah, even still.
Like, they're not. It's not like they're long lost friends and they're like reconnecting. Like, no. And she was like referred to him, or he was referred to her from the police, like force, like from the IAB or whatever. Like, no. So then she's like, you know, I have cereal for dinner at least 3 nights a week, which relatable. I mean, that's crop dinner and all I wanted is Kit. That's what I have now. But I'm also like, why again, why are you sharing this? And Aaron's like, not gonna lie, I do too. I'm like, no, stop sharing this right now. Stop. Aaron, just like say goodbye, say have a good night, and like walk out. Please, someone at this point, anyone, I don't care. And so then they like have a look, and Aaron's like, I should really go. And she's like, yeah, I should call an Uber. And then this man offers to give her a ride. And I'm like, Aaron, no. I appreciate you trying. I appreciate you being a nice guy. But like, she's literally your doctor. Yes, she's probably younger than him, or they're the same age, who knows? But like, she's literally your doctor. Like, just no. So then they like get to her place, and then they like have this weird like look in the car, and she like hesitates, and she's like, I gotta go. Like, yeah, you better get out of that car. Like, I don't know. At times I was like, Aaron has game. And then there were other times where I was like, he just needs to stop. Like, he just needs to stop. So then, like, the next morning, Aaron and Lucy missed having them ride together. Like, oh my gosh. For the next 5 episodes of the season, I really need them to be like together riding on patrol all day, every day. But they're like getting the shop ready for their patrol shift. And he has Flair's jacket. Because why not? Why not? I mean,
Why bring it to work with you?
right. That's
What
what
is
Lucy
his deal?
says. I don't know this man. I was like, okay, Aaron, you're like giving like some kind of creep vibes here. Like,
Especially when he what he says to Lucy later too, if he's like, wondering how he
yeah.
is, and I'm
He
like,
was like,
dude, you're so confirming that right now.
I was like, Aaron, you're like hyping yourself up, and like kind of it's just not a good look right now. So he's like, yeah, she like left it in my car the previous night. And he's like, can we drop it off at her office? And Lucy's like, wait, who is Blair? Like, I've not heard of this person. And Aaron's like, oh, she's my therapist. And Lucy's like, wait. And Aaron's like, yeah, I was picking up some vibes last night when like we were getting a drink. And I'm like, were you though? No. So then Lucy reminds him that it crosses so many lines and that he's not supposed to go out with his therapist. And Aaron's like, well, I used to hang out with my old therapist all the time. Like, it was no big deal. And Lucy's confused. I'm like, your old therapist was named like Lil Gherkin or something, and Dr. Shrink. Like, pretty sure that they weren't official. So, and even Lucy's like, were they licensed? And he's like, no. Yeah. So, no. Like, come on. And then Aaron, like, they get in the shop, and Aaron's like, do you think that Blair left her jacket in my car on purpose, like his leave behind, as an excuse to see me again? And Lucy looks at him straight face, and she's like, she does have an excuse to see you again. Therapy. Like, leave it at that. And he's speechless, and the conversation is over. I'm like, yeah, if you would have said any more, I would have been like, Aaron, you're a sweet guy, but like, come on, come on.
Listen, I mean, he officially lost me when he was thinking that she left the jacket in his car on purpose. I was like, stop right now.
Yeah. I was like, please stop while you're ahead, or so you think you are. So then this is the one of the funnier scenes. Because it's everything that is like perfect between these three people, these three characters. So Lucy and Aaron walk into the waiting room of the therapy office. And who else is there besides Smitty? He's eating snacks. And Lucy's like, I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to do therapy like when you're on shift. And he's like, oh, I'm not a patient here, but I'm here. I take my breaks here. They have great snack options, and the mood is very zen. And Lucy just like holds back
Well, and
everything.
like Aaron agrees with her, and I'm like, dude, should you really be talking about what's right to do here in terms of
Right?
therapy? Like,
Yeah, like you're
no.
literally at your therapist's office to give her back the jacket that she left in your car from when you guys were having drinks. Like, where does
Yeah,
any
it
of
was
this
just
make
like
any sense?
pot meet kettle. Like, just stop it right now.
But Smitty was just like so chill, like sitting there. It was like, wouldn't anyone like think to ask why he's just sitting there? I don't know. It's just weird. So then Blair walks in. It looks like she's like coming like into the office for the first time. Like she walks in the same door as they do. I figured she'd be like walking out of her little like room or whatever, but she walks in, Aaron gives her the jacket. Lucy's standing in there in the back. Smitty's sitting in the back. He's just like, I got my popcorn, I'm just watching here. And she's like, okay, back to work, because it's like all awkward with Blair and Aaron. And she's like, were you sure? She asks Aaron if he was sure that Blair was flirting with him, because it was not the vibe she was picking up on. And she was like, were you drinking? And I thought Aaron had already said that they were, but maybe not. And so then Aaron's like, wait, am I the guy that thinks every girl is into him? And I'm like, Aaron, one, I mean, I love the confidence, but also two, you're just like coming across as like hot-headed right now. Like you've literally had this happen with two girls. One who was your not partner, but like colleague, which could pose some conflict of interest too. I mean, don't look at Chunford because they're literally that, but also like she's a rookie and you're not. And then now it's your therapist. So pretty sure you're just like hitting the wrong like areas for like working and women. But Lucy's like, you know, we could ask Selena. And Aaron's like, I know, I'm done. And they start to walk away, and Lucy's like, bye, Smitty. And he's just like waving. I'm like, yeah, just leave Smitty there, because honestly, the man will just, he's probably not, he probably is one that takes like extra long breaks. He's like, yeah, no big deal. My 30-minute break turns into an hour, you know, whatever. So then, like, we cut over to Aaron and Blair. I don't know when, because he's like there for another appointment. And he's like, yeah, I want to clear the air. And she apologizes, and she's like, you know, I understand if you want to switch therapists. Girl, why don't you cut him off? Like, honestly, at this point, I would be like, we cannot keep doing this. Like, I'm gonna refer you to another therapist.
I thought that they were like stopping though after she
Same.
approved him to go back to work. Like, that was his not court appointed, but like appointed therapy was re a requirement for him to go. And it's like, not that there's anything wrong with him if he still has trauma and he actually needs a therapist to like deal with it, but not her after all of this nonsense.
Well, and the fact that she was like giving him the option to switch therapists. I'm like, if I was you, I would be like, I'm gonna refer you to another one. Like, I just we can't keep meeting. And he's like, I would, but like you're also the first person that I've ever felt comfortable opening up to. So I would really like to keep that like going. And then he starts to talk about the physical attraction that was there. Blair's like, no, there never was and never will be any. She friend zones him so quick. And I'm like, as you should, like, please write it on a post-it note and stick it to his forehead or something.
I
Like,
mean, I guess. I mean, she maybe could have. I don't know. I thought she could have said it a little bit differently, but then what happens next make me think that she had to like shut it down for other motives unknown right now.
So then, like, he gets up to leave. Everything's fine. She then walks over to a shelf, which we didn't see when they were talking, that had a camera recording them on it, and turns it off, which is like, what is she doing? There's a lot of theories going around on the internet with her, and I've seen a lot of them being like, she's the big bad. And I'm like, But why would she be coming after Aaron? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
know.
They did catch the guys that did this to them, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think. I mean, okay, even regardless if she wasn't this like evil genius mastermind, it's literally still illegal and unethical.
Yeah.
Like
Well,
to
okay.
record someone without their consent if you're a
Yeah.
therapist.
So part of me, I was like trying to give her the benefit of the doubt last night. And then I was like, what are you doing? Like, this is ridiculous. I was like, well, maybe she had to like record it for his file. And I was like, no therapist would have to record their session
I mean, they
or their
could in
file.
some cases. There are certain things if you have like methods to, you know, try,
Yeah.
and
But
you know, you
even then,
want to
what
see
they were talking
progress.
about was not
No.
needed to
But
be.
that you'd still have to state that you're recording said session and
Yeah.
ask it, you know, and get their consent for. I just
Yeah.
can't. Like, I was so done. I was like, I'm sorry, Danielle. I love you, but like, this is the worst thing
Yeah.
ever. Like, I can't do it.
I don't know. It's
But
just, it's weird. And it was like the way she like walked over to the camera. Like, I don't know. Maybe this was just me and I was wanting to see something, but like when she went to go turn it off, like her face was in the shot and it almost looked like she had like a smirk on her face. And I was
oh
like,
yeah, for
what are
sure.
they gonna do? Like, what if she's like working? Wait, okay, this is my delusional self thinking. It's Carrie leans in closer to the camera and she's like, tell me, what if her and like Monica are working together and they're like
Oh
on a mission to
goodness.
take down the like the Wilshire district?
Well, women helping other women take down people. Ugh, not the girl power I want.
I feel like I might have seen someone saying, like, what if she's working with
I
Monica? I don't know, but like, what if she is?
just, I mean, I don't even have a, I don't have a who, what, where, when, why, how. Well, okay, I guess we do have the how, but like, I don't even have any thoughts of what she could possibly be doing.
But like, Monica is kind of done, like, with John's stuff
Well, you
and Oscar.
think, I mean, she
Yeah.
might come up though, because I remember Sean in that one interview said that, you know, she'd be a pretty big part of the season.
And she's still with all the Elijah stuff. So
Yeah.
like I'm just thinking, like, what if they're trying to do like the LAPD Wilshire District is like trying to be like taken down. Like people are coming
Yeah.
after them. All their enemies are like coming. I don't know. It seemed weird, but I was like, Blair's not an enemy like to Aaron or anything. But she could be after all this. Who knows? So
Yeah.
I don't know. It was weird. And a lot of people were like, I knew it. I knew she was a bad guy. I don't know how she's a bad guy, but I know she's a bad guy. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like, it just seems weird. And it's
Yeah.
not like they were, like, she was recording, and maybe she was recording other things that they've talked about and like the actual reasons why he came to therapy. And maybe we just saw her recording this. But then I was also thinking, like, maybe she needed that for like HR purposes to like once again like show that she turned him down. I don't know. It was just weird. It was very weird.
Yeah. I don't, I mean, that and just the fact that it's alluding to, I don't really think nefarious is the right word. I don't know, ominous.
Yeah.
You know, like that something is inherently, you know, wrong with like this. I mean, obviously, yes, there is something wrong with the, with how this therapist patient relationship has turned into this convoluted mess. But like, just takes away the whole fact that, you know, this could have been like a really actual, like helpful storyline or like
Yeah.
plot point for Aaron, and to
Well,
show
for the
that
show
like
in general.
therapy is beneficial. I mean, I'm sure
Yeah.
people know that, but I know there's still a lot of stigma around mental health and going to therapy, especially in, you know, first responder fields.
Yeah.
Especially when they had like, you know, John advocating for mental health, you know, a couple seasons ago, and like, you know, doing that whole thing. And like, I thought, okay, this is good. They're gonna have a therapist. They're gonna like
Right.
actually open the door to, you know, talk about it, which I mean, I guess technically speaking, they have a couple times. But then they just turned it into whatever this is, and I don't like it. It bothers me.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
I guess it still could be viewed as that, but like it's still no, because she just wouldn't need to be recording it. Like it's just weird. So yeah, that's kind of where we leave off though. I wonder, we know that Danielle's gonna be around until the last episode, right? Because people have seen her filming. So like what else could happen? Like, who knows? And up until this episode, no one else knew who she was. Like, now Lucy does, and presumably Smitty, if he was paying attention. But he was probably so into a snack that he was like tuning
Yeah,
out
so
for the
enthralled.
world. But like, I don't know. And we know that like Lucy is supposed to have like a rough finale. I don't know. I don't know. I guess we'll see, but.
And wasn't it like Melissa or Eric or one of the two of them that were like, the characters will all get into situations they've never been in before? I mean, certainly having a therapist be in some
Yeah.
involvement beyond a traditional therapist role is something different that they haven't done
Yeah.
on the show before. I
Yeah.
don't know.
I just know that I don't want a cliffhanger for anyone at the end of the season. Like we had it last season. This is only 10 episodes. I don't really want it again. Like I'm fine. I'm fine. So, yeah, but that's kind of where we left off with this episode as a whole. It was a wild ride. Like you said, there were a lot of emotions, ups and downs. So, we do have quite a bit of listener thoughts. Do you want to take us through the first one?
Sure. So, Newsboys 22 said, "I thought this episode was so good, and the whole Tim storyline had me super anxious the whole episode. Also, Tim is breaking my heart. I just love him so much and can't stand to see him hurting. And I can't wait to get to next week's episode."
Yeah. Francesca said, love to this episode. I thought the storylines were pretty well balanced. Bailey broke my heart, and we need more Luna on this show. Lucy and Tim were incredible, and I'm so ready for next week to see how this whole Tim story shakes out. I feel like we've had quite a bit of Luna this season. I mean, I would have to go back and count how many episodes, but I've loved it. I've loved seeing more Luna Gray. So, yeah.
Hannah said it was so good. Loved the Lucy sass to Aaron, so unhinged. Very much hooked on this Tim storyline and cannot wait to see where it goes. Why is Aaron's therapist recording their sessions? I have so many questions on that one. Hannah said that Baylen were the cutest foster parents, but she actually doesn't think that she wants to see them have a child because it might throw off their entire vibe and might just, kind of send things down the drain a little bit. Hannah did love getting to see Luna and Wade together. There was not enough Harper. Sorry, Harpez for me. That's their new partner name they've decided.
Yes. Harper and Lopez, yeah. We needed a ship. We needed like a partner name for them. We didn't have it, but Harpez is it. Like create the hashtag. It's Harpez now. You heard it here first from Hannah. It's Harpez. Yeah, we definitely have not had enough Angela and Nyla. But I feel like it goes in waves with the episodes. Like there's somewhere we do, like last episode we got quite a bit. And then like the episode before, not so much, but like the honeymoon one we did. But I also feel like the rookie still just does a really good balance with giving each character enough. I mean, you could argue Wesley hasn't had enough this season.
So true.
But like yes, he is like a main character on the show, right? Like he's a regular. Sean's a regular. But for me, I feel like it's kind of hard to like rope him in because he's not like in the district, but like he's the law. Like he's like part of the law. So I don't know. It's kind of hard, but I do like when they do rope him in. They are doing a lot with Bailey though, which there was another comment about that. So Shannon said she really liked it and it was an outstanding episode. Love the rookie. The cast, writers, directors, and crew all do a terrific job. They do. Like every episode this season has been a good one. Some better than others, but it's neither here nor there. In my opinion, at least. I don't know.
That's fair. Yeah. Paige said, I have no words, no words, except maybe the following. Baby Balin. Oh, what? Oh, WTAF, Tim. Icky therapist and OMG, Tim. So, lots of concern for Tim and possible Balin baby. Try saying that like three times fast. Can't do it.
Wait, what did you tweet the other day? Oh, it
Oh,
was for the 606 promo
yeah,
code,
it was
right?
rooting Brolin. I literally had to say it slowly. Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't help it.
Yep, lots of concern for Tim. I mean, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Because I feel like we've seen him go in deep when it came to Isabel. So it's like that affected him. How is his military past gonna affect him? Same with like all the Jenny and like Jenny Bradford stuff and like his dad. Like we saw him go deep with that. Like he wears his heart on his sleeve with things. So yeah, it'll be interesting. Reader Book 1981 said good action. Balin was cute. Chenford was fire. Tim is great at the intense moments. Reaper. Can't wait for next week. Same. I mean, I just keep watching the promo again, like the Chenford moment, and I'm like, oh my gosh. That just like gets me. So
KC said, wow, the storylines all around were fantastic this week. Very true.
yeah.
Lots going on.
It definitely felt like an episode where it was like, I can't look away for a minute because I'll miss something. So, Sheila said, I loved the majority of this episode. I loved the banter between Lucy and Aaron. We got our girl Tamara back. Her entry was right on brand. Smitty was fantastic and so Smitty. I love him. We got happy and smiling Lucy too. She also said, right now I only want to see Bailey when she's working, but I did like the story with the little girl in foster care that was brought up. I don't like where things appear to be going with the therapist, though. I'm actually quite disappointed in this. A lot of people are. Like, there's so many gray lines with it that it's like, it's harder to see the good side of it because there is no good side of it. Or if there is, it's not much. I do like that they kind of made Aaron aware of like him thinking that every girl is interested in him though. Even though we've only seen it with two so far, it was like, okay, you clearly weren't aware of this before. So like let's make you aware of it now. Sheila also said Chenford, they started off so good and cute with the present from Tim on their date night, and then that damn phone call happened. I like that we got a glance of his military past and to see how he's changed in the years since. And I fully understand why Tim trying to protect Lucy. I also understand Lucy's worry and anger, and where she ultimately landed with Tim that night. Yeah, I don't know. It was hard to see, but I'm glad that they pushed that or opened that envelope.
And Lisa said, I liked the Chenford scenes, but I don't like them fighting. I liked how we saw more of Tim's past and how he handled it. Last night's episode was amazing.
It really
So true.
was.
So true. I
Do we
mean,
have
yeah,
any
I
other
was.
notes?
No. I mean, I could go on and on, but I'd just be talking in circles. I can't, like, oh my God. So many things. So many things happened. So
Yeah.
many.
Yeah.
Lot of stuff.
I don't know. I feel like, again, my opinion, maybe I just wasn't a fan of last week, but I feel like Twitter was a lot more lively this week with this episode. Maybe it was because of the two sneak peeks that they shared, which it was like Aaron and Blair in the bar and then like Chenford before. Like maybe it was that had people kind of like, oh, we have to tune in for this one. But yeah, I don't know. This episode was just really good. I feel like it set up. It was almost like a mid-season premiere, kind of, because like middle of the season, but also just like feel like it set up the nice the back half really nice. Like,
Yeah. Well, I almost felt like it would be like, their like winter finale if they were
yeah.
airing like, in the actual season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
But yeah, I think we're all talked out.
And with that, you guys can find us on Twitter at the Shop Talk Pod underscore, or email us at shoptalktherookiepodcast@gmail.com with all of your thoughts. And we are on Twitter as well. I'm at Carrie Hyman.
And I'm at JStarkade04.
And we are also on TikTok at the Shop Talk Podcast underscore. And of course, as always, we have, our T Public store for merch, including, those fun 100th episode designs and just, the whole collection. We've accumulated quite a bit
Yeah.
over the years.
You can get so
So,
many different items too. And T Public's like always having sales. So,
yeah.
yeah. But
Nope.
yeah, that's about it for us. Until then, bye everyone.
Bye, guys.
Go get 'em, boo.